respect in the freest, most prosperous country in the world. For this, I owe eternal gratitude to my parents. Because after Fidel Castro's murderous revolution, my parents had to leave with $5 in their pocket. That was a heart-wrenching choice because they knew what the word socialism and communism meant. Since then, the regime has claimed they have created a system of equality with free housing and free food and free education and free everything. It's pure propaganda. The only equality communism offers, it's being equally poor, equally hungry, equally oppressed, and equally exiled. The truth is communism is a cancer, and it has devastated not only Cuba, but Venezuela, North Korea, China, Russia. The medical supplies are non-existent, the supermarkets are empty, the homes are collapsing around the people that live in them, the doctors in Cuba, the doctors and the engineers and the nurses. There are now taxi drivers, hotel staff, because the tourist dollars pay a lot more in one day than the government jobs pays in one month. So that is communism in action. So why are we here today? And I once again thank all of you for being here with us. We're here because we have an important mission. We have to educate our students, our future generations, the leaders of tomorrow, about the true meaning of communism. And that is precisely what this bill that I'm going to be introducing today with 60 other members of Congress. This is called the Crucial Communism Teaching Act, or the CCT. And what is this going to do? They're going to show the principles of freedom, opportunity, and democracy. Because unfortunately today, we're seeing an alarming shift in our national conscience. I'm not sure if you know that one third of the Gen Z, or my two kids belong to the Gen Z, those are young adults, have a favorable view of communism, 33%. And over 40% of the millennials, which are the ones that came before Gen Z, say they don't know much about Marxism or what it looks like. Well, let me tell you what it looks like. Over 100 million people worldwide have died under the brutal regimes, the brutal practices of the communist regime. As I said, Russia, North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba, now Nicaragua, and Colombia, if Gustavo Petro wins the presidency. As I said, as the daughter of Cuban exiles, I'm proud to introduce this bill. This legislation will build a school curriculum to teach our future generations the true meaning of communism. So the future generations will understand and learn what this tragic reality looks like. History has shown that communism has no place in the United States. This is an indispensable lesson, and this is why I am proud to champion with all of them this important bill. This is not what America stands for. And I'm calling on my colleagues to join me today to educate our children, our future generations, and to preserve our core values. But not only the colleagues in the Republican Party, I am calling my colleagues in the Democratic Party to join this bill and to help us pass this school curriculum all over the country so our kids could really know what my parents had to go through. I thank you, all of you. We'll get some bites later, but let me allow for some of my colleagues to speak to you as well. Ambassador Andrew Renberg is next. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
All right.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Renberg, and I am the president of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. A VOC is a nonpartisan organization that was chartered by Congress in 1993 and signed by President Clinton to memorialize and educate Americans about the victims of communism. We were pleased to commemorate and dedicate a national memorial to all 100 million victims of communism in 2007. And next year, we will be opening the first Victims of Communism Museum here in Washington, D.C. I want to thank Representative Salazar for her leadership and all the wonderful members of Congress who have co-sponsored this important bill. And we'd like to urge all members of Congress to pass this legislation. Over the past century, communist totalitarian regimes in some 40 nations have killed more than 100 million people and subjected countless more to exploitation, violence, and untold devastation. These victims were shot dead in the Bolshevik Revolution. They were starved in the Holodomor, Ukraine famine. They were worked to death in the Soviet gulags. They were exiled to Siberia in the Baltic deportations. They were executed on Cuba's Isle of Pines. And they've been beaten to death under China's Cultural Revolution. They drowned fleeing Vietnam, and their bones littered Cambodia in the desolate killing fields. Although the Berlin Wall fell and the Soviet Union collapsed, 1/5 of the world's population today is still suffering under communist regimes. In Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, the horrors of socialism and communism continue. And today you will hear firsthand witness accounts of those who have been tortured and abused by these regimes. In China, the Chinese Communist Party is committing genocide against Uyghur Muslims and other religious and ethnic minorities. Up to 3 million Uyghur Muslims are today, in the 21st century, held captive in concentration camps. A majority of Uyghur women are being forcibly sterilized, and Uyghur men are being forced into modern-day slavery. Yet the majority of young Americans simply do not know the history of communist regimes, those both past and present. They don't know the simple fact that 100 million people have been victims of communism, or know about the destruction and deaths it has wrought. So it's understandable why some young people think they're sporting a cool t-shirt with Che Guevara thinking he's a hero, when in fact, he was a violent murderer. According to one of our recent polls, 1 in 3 millennials view communism as favorable. That is why this crucial Communism Teaching Act is so important. Americans must learn about the crimes of communist regimes and about the legacy of those champions of freedom who have resisted and defeated communist tyranny. The introduction of this bill today follows the success we've already had in the state of Florida, where Governor DeSantis signed the Portraits in Patriotism bill that requires all Florida high schools to educate their students about communism. And we will continue to work across all 50 states to ensure that all young Americans are taught the truth about the victims of communism. Thank you again for having me today. Thank you for your leadership on this important bill. Thank you.
To you, Ambassador. Now, let me give the opportunity to Representative Crenshaw. Wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for your leadership on this. In 1984, there was a man named Yuri Bezmenov. He gave an interview to G. Edward Griffin. It was titled, "Deception Was My Job." It detailed his time as a KGB officer for the Soviet Union, and what he had to say was shocking. He revealed that 85% of the KGB's budget was allocated for the purpose of undermining our political system through information warfare. Not the cool spy stuff you see on TV, but information warfare, using our free society against itself to amplify divisions, undermine faith in our economic and our political system, and amplify the useful idiots on our own side who want to destroy our country. I don't think the Soviets ever imagined how successful they'd actually be. From the Marxist-infused radicalism of the 60s to the critical race theory trends of today, I don't think the Soviets could have imagined a better ally than the Democrat Socialists of America today, some of which currently serve in our Congress, some of which currently teach our children or perform for millions on television or currently run major corporations. And so it's no wonder that a recent survey of millennials found that 36% have a favorable view of communism. 70% say they would actually vote for a socialist. And it's no wonder that the murderous Cuban and Venezuelan regimes find sympathy in the American population, because our citizens have been lied to for generations about the dangers of communism and told that the American system is built on lies and racism. So they become socialists because they've been conditioned that way. In the halls of Congress and on the campaign trail and in academia, we hear flirtations with socialism. Real socialism has never been tried, they say. They leave out the part where socialist equality is equality in misery and deprivation, nothing else. They leave out the part where the utopia they seek must be paid for in blood and death in the tens of millions. Our children don't know these horrors because they've never been taught, so we must change that. America's students should learn about the Soviet gulags and Holodomor, where Stalin purposely starved 3.5 million Ukrainians. They should learn about Mao's great leap forward and cultural revolution that killed tens of millions of Chinese. They should learn about the modern day slavery happening in China right now with the Uyghur Muslims. They should learn about the Cambodian killing fields, the brutality of the East German Stasi, and the plight of the people suffering under North Korea for the last 70 years. Students should know that their classmate, wearing a cool Che Guevara t-shirt, is not being chic. They're actually idolizing and promoting a mass murderer who also happened to be a racist and a homophobe. These are inconvenient truths, but they are truths. We need to provide America's schools with the tools they need to get, and the parents the tools they need to give their kids an alternative to Marxist indoctrination and ideology that's currently being taught. America's parents deserve to have a say in what their children learn in school, and I believe parents rather have their children learn to love America and hate communism than the other way around. And that's what this bill does. It ensures students know the lessons of history so that our next generation does not repeat them. It will ensure that communism remains in the trash heap of history where it belongs. Thank you.
Excellent. Now Representative Waltz.
Here's the bottom line. What I think you're going to hear from Representative Salazar and so many of us here is that communism kills. Communism has killed more than any other ideology in world history. Communism has killed more than fascism. Communism has killed more than imperialism, more than any other form of government. Communism has killed, and communism, in order for it to work, has to lead to authoritarianism. It has to, and it always has, and it always will. And whenever we have a segment of society that learns through blood and through authoritarianism that no matter how hard they work, no matter how hard they sacrifice, what they risk, no matter what they do, that government will take from them. And then you have another segment of society that learns that no matter how little they work, government will give to them. That is the death of freedom. And that's what happens under communism. Because at the end of the day, you must have an authoritarian regime to decide who those winners are and who those losers are. And gee, it should be no surprise that that authoritarian regime always, throughout history, and always will, puts themselves first as the winners. And that's why in every communist regime, you see the regime enriching itself before the people that they're supposed to serve. Look, I think this bill is long overdue. I applaud you for it. Many of us who grew up in the Cold War learned and understood the threat that communism was. And since the end of that Cold War, I think that has really waned in our society and certainly in our schools. But now we are in a new Cold War with a new communist regime in the Chinese Communist Party. And we need to wake up to the threat that it is. I'm a Green Beret. The Green Berets were founded under John F. Kennedy. He knew that there would be groups of freedom fighters around the world that needed our help. The motto of the Green Berets is De Oppresso Liber, to free the oppressed. And whether that was in Yugoslavia, whether that was in South and Central America, everywhere that communism thrived, we had leadership in this city, we had leadership in the White House that committed Americans in uniform to go help those freedom fighters. But the fight starts here. And as Representative Crenshaw said, we talk a lot these days about what's taught in our schools, about having a clear eye and clear teaching of history, whether it was the plight of Native Americans or racism or slavery. We need that same clear-eyed approach to the history of communism and the threat that it is. And I am proud to support you. I thank you for your leadership, and we will continue this fight. And that I hand over to Buddy Carr.
Thank you, Representative Waltz. And I want to thank Representative Salazar for putting this together and for sponsoring this legislation. Let's not lose sight of the fact that it's someone whose family suffered under communism who is the lead sponsor of this legislation. That is significant. That should be noted. Folks, I'm a father of three sons. I'm the grandfather of six grandchildren. What our children think, what they learn is important. It's important to me. Today's youth, they're not fearful of communism. They look upon communism favorably. Now, who's to blame for that? Our teaching, that's to blame for it. Our media is to blame for it. Ultimately, all of us are to blame for it. And all of us have the inherent responsibility of making sure that this doesn't happen, making sure that they understand. I mean, think about it now, about what's going on in China. We all know about the genocide that goes on there. We all know that they are suppressing their people over there. And yet we're fixing to come up on the Winter Olympics. And you can be assured that it will be glamorous. People will be tuned in to their TVs, watching all these great events. It will be a media spectacle, no question about it. But what's going on outside of that? What's going on in that country? That's what's important. It's important for us to make sure our children understand. That's why I'm proud. I'm proud to be a co-sponsor of this legislation. The Crucial Communism Teaching Act. This will help us to educate our children, to teach them that communism is not the answer, that here in America, we enjoy the freedoms of a free country. You think they're having a press conference like this in China now? And oh, by the way, what about the tennis player? I want to take this opportunity to applaud the Women's Tennis Association what they're doing. We need to get to the bottom of this. Folks, this is serious. I know, another press conference. No, it's not another press conference. This is an important press conference. Extremely important. What's being done here is extremely important. Remember what Ronald Reagan said in his inaugural address. Freedom is a fragile thing. And it's never more than one generation away from extinction. It is not ours by way of inheritance. It must be fought for and defended constantly by each generation, For it comes only once to a people. Let's not fear, let's not fail this generation. Let's do our job. Let's be responsible. Thank you, Representative Salazar. I'm proud to stand by my colleagues here in support of this.
Proud of all of you for standing here with us and saving our future generations. Now, Representative Miller Meeks, the tallest member in Congress.
Thank you so much, Maria. I'm Marionette Miller Meeks, and I represent Iowa's 2nd Congressional District in Congress. And I really would first like to thank my good friend, Congresswoman Salazar, for organizing today's press conference and for incredible leadership on this extremely important issue. From the Vietnam era to the fall of the Soviet Union, I proudly served in the United States Army. I watched as communism spread across the world during the Cold War. From the Soviet Union and East Germany to China and Cuba, and every country in which communism has taken hold, it has seen the individual liberties of its citizens taken away, censoring free speech, restricting or banning religious liberty, and exerting total control over private industries, leaving their people in poverty and brutalized. For those who have seen the damage done by communism firsthand, we must never forget the millions who have suffered. And if you, like I, have toured college campuses or have had children at a college campus, they talk extensively and glowingly about the most important skill in a global economy is critical thinking. And we in our school system talk eloquently about the excesses and the demerits of capitalism, but we never talk about the excesses, the brutality, and the murder of communist regimes and why they have continued to fail. And if we're going to have critical thinking in our young adults and in our citizens, then they have to be taught both points of view. And it is the equitable and fair thing to do. Because if we in the United States do not stand for liberty, for entrepreneurship, for competitiveness, for innovation, there is no place on the world, and I can tell you from traveling extensively in the military, as my colleagues have done, and personally, that there is no place in the world that these exist if we do not continue to be their champion. We must ensure that our next generation is well educated in the dangers of this radical ideology. I am proud to be an original co-sponsor of the Crucial Communism Teaching Act, and I thank everyone for being here today, and especially my colleague, Congresswoman Salazar.
Thanks to all of you once again. Thank you. Now, Representative Crawford.
Thank you. I want to echo the sentiments that have been expressed here by my colleagues and just add a couple of things. I'm proud to support this legislation, but the real travesty is the fact that it's necessary. The fact that we've gone 30 plus years and forgotten the brutalities of communism, because when the wall came down, it was time to celebrate and we could look to the future. And unfortunately, we've forgotten the lessons of communism, and our children, now 30 years removed from that historic event, have forgotten about it. And you heard one of my colleagues mention how communism kills, and I agree with that. But communism doesn't, it's not always a quick death. I was in Cuba a few years ago. Had my taxi driver, I said, take me to the best grocery store in Havana. And I found out that the taxi driver was in fact a medical doctor, and he was driving a taxi to make a living. And that's how he earned his cash, because being a medical doctor didn't pay. And he took me to the best grocery store in Havana. And I'm gonna tell you, I wouldn't take my dog to that grocery store. This was the best one in Havana, and it was empty shelves, and what was there wasn't fit to feed our dogs. So communism kills, yes, but some of those that suffer under the communist regime, they die a slow and painful death. And so, as sad a statement as it is today, that we have to engage in legislation to teach things that we should already know, I'm proud to be a part of this legislation, and I support the leadership of my colleague Maria Salazar. Thank you.
Thanks, Julia. And Representative Hill.
Thanks.
French Hill, I represent the 2nd Congressional District in Arkansas. And I'm proud to stand here with my friend from Florida, Congresswoman Salazar, Ambassador Brimberg, because this is an important day. And let me tell you why. Opening here in Washington, D.C., a museum for the victims of communism, combined with this legislation to make sure that our teachers and our kids have access to the facts of the destruction of health, welfare, mental health, and physical health of these citizens living under these authoritarian communist dictatorships, is the first step, and I hope not the last step, in ending the culture that we have in this country of Neville Chamberlain-level abdication of education. That's what we've done. We've abdicated teaching these lessons. We've abdicated exposing our kids to this. And so, as somebody who, while people were being murdered in the Cultural Revolution in China, I was under my desk in my elementary school fearing a nuclear attack. While those millions of Chinese people were taken to camps in the Cultural Revolution and murdered, those of us at the same age in our country were under our desks fearing a nuclear attack from the Russian Soviet Union communist regime. I've been to East Berlin and West Berlin at the height of the Cold War. When you cross Checkpoint Charlie in 1986 and leave West Berlin, you went into the Twilight Zone. You went into a desolate, bombed out, nothing on the shelves, the people, the cars, the buildings. It was a movie set from the end of the world. Because in that 40 years from 1945 to 1986, West Berlin became one of the most extraordinary cities in the world, with freedom, capitalism, opportunity, and just across the barbed wire was destitution, poverty, authoritarianism. Our kids need to learn that lesson. They didn't have Solzhenitsyn, Whitaker Chambers, William F. Buckley that I had in my childhood. This bill changes that. This bill ends that abdication, and I thank my friend from Florida and all of our colleagues for the support.
Thank you as well. Now, Representative Van Drew.
I first want to, like everybody else, commend Representative Salazar for doing this. This is of extreme importance, and I'll tell you why. We understand and we see the extremes of communism. We know what it's like to see the tanks rolling down in China. We know to see Russia build its arms and forces up at the border. We understand what they're doing. But what is also important and is amazing is that we even have to have this press conference. I am almost shocked that we have to have it, yet it is necessary. To think only a short number of years ago, we would almost laugh at the idea that we have to have a press conference to explain to our young people that communism isn't good, that communism will destroy our country. But that is where we are at, and there is a reason. Let's talk about the subtleties of what's happening to this country. We're taking the names of great men out of our cities and out of our towns. I was named after Thomas Jefferson. My name is Jefferson Van Drew. I named my son Jefferson Van Drew. Jefferson was a great man. He was a product of his time, but he was still a great man. In New York City, they took his bust down. All across this country, we're taking the names of great leaders, of fighters for freedom, of individuals, men and women who bled and fought and stood for this country. We have people in Congress. We have people in Congress who really don't believe in the American way, don't believe in American freedom, don't believe in American independence. It's subtle. It's not even that subtle anymore, to be honest with you. It's pretty obvious. So we see all this around us. We know that in universities, if you have a very pro-American stance or a conservative viewpoint, you probably won't get a chance to speak. You probably won't get to give a commencement address. Let's really tell it how it is. This country is at the precipice. We are on the edge. And this is a big piece of it. We are going to have to decide that either that we are the America that we know and love, or that we're going to change. Many professors, many universities, many educational systems want us to change. And what we all are talking about is we're trying to make it clear to our children and our grandchildren that if we make this change, all the wonderful freedoms, all the greatness, the freedom to have your own faith, the freedom to do well in your own economy, the freedom to believe in whatever it is you want to accomplish in your life, and your freedom to raise your family the way you want to, and to say what you want to, and to do what you want to. You shouldn't take that for granted. Every time I go into a classroom or speak to a group, I speak about American exceptionalism. And American exceptionalism says that America is better, it's different, it's the greatest country in the world. I will say to you right now, America is the greatest country this world has ever seen. It is the greatest country on the face, literally, of the earth. And we love Ronald Reagan, and one of his other great statements was, besides loss of freedom, was only one generation away. He spoke about the shining city on the hill. So the bottom line, it's up to us. There's nobody else. It's up to all of you in media. It's up to me and all these good folks here that represent people in the United States Congress and in the United States Senate. It's up to parents. Parents call me up sometimes. They say, I'm upset. I don't even know what to do the way the country is moving and what is happening. And I say, you know, one of the most important things you can do when your children or your grandchildren, when they come home, look at what they're learning. And if they're not learning about freedom, if they're not learning about what happened in Cuba, if they're not learning what happens in China, if they're not learning what happens in North Korea, then you better make sure that you teach them. It is now our responsibility. Nobody else, every single one of you, it's in your hands. Take that responsibility and grasp it for all the men and women who died and bled and gave so much to this country, for the great leaders of the past, and I swear, I hope, the great leaders of the future. I thank you for doing this. God bless you.
It's my duty. Thank you. Very well said. Thank you very much. Representative Grothman.
Thank you. We stand here today. I'd like to thank Congresswoman Salazar for introducing this bill. In my opinion, as I go through all the bills we've talked about in Congress so far this session, this is the most important bill. And I say that because we've heard the statistics today of over one-third of the young people actually think socialism and maybe Marxism isn't that bad. And as somebody else here pointed out, a Soviet defector said that most of the KGB money spent in this country was spent to change America's view of itself. In other words, they were going to conquer this country not with ships or tanks from abroad, they were going to conquer it from within. And when you see 30% of the population wanting or not understanding what is wrong with a country like Cuba, you realize we are losing that war. Every American child should know that communism is, they dislike the churches, they dislike God. And the reason they don't like God is because they feel the churches create a moral background in which people will be reluctant to kill people if the government calls upon them to kill people. People have to know you restrict travel in communism. You restrict information. And there are all sorts of people out there which kind of have the heart of a communist, we know right now today, who do want to restrict information, right? And our ears should perk up. Wait a minute, we got people out here who think the way for America to go forward is to restrict information. They obviously want to abolish ownership of things. Karl Marx was very anti-family. Sometimes they haven't got all the way there, but we have to be on the lookout for that. It is very scary when organizations founded by Marxists are able to attract politicians from Congress to stand with them. That's a big danger sign. And of course, ultimately, after you destroy the churches or take over the churches, after you restrict travel, after you restrict the flow of information, finally, in some cases, communism leads to mass murder. And every American child should understand what happened in Red China, in Ukraine, in Russia, in Cambodia, in Cuba. Every American child should know that, but they don't know it. So I'm glad we have this bill. I hope every state around the country does what they can to educate their young children about what will happen to religion, what will happen to freedom of children, freedom of religion, what will happen, their goal for the family and how they want to have, you know, the children raised more and more by the government and less by the family. So I hope this bill moves forth, and I hope state legislators around the country are paying attention to this bill, and they do what they do in Florida and make sure every American child knows what Marxism and communism is about. Thank you, Congresswoman Salazar, and we hope in the near future we get this bill
passed. Yes. And now, finally, Representative Jacobs.
Thank you very much, Congresswoman and Ambassador. It is an honor to be here, truly an honor. I'm honored to co-sponsor this legislation. One reason I'm here today is for my wife and her family, who escaped Czechoslovakia at the time when she was 4 years old and her brother was 2 years old. They escaped. They took one suitcase each, said they're going on a weekend vacation, and never came back. Their aunt and uncle tried to do the same thing the next week and were captured and jailed. In talking with my wife's father about his experiences and why he was so passionate about coming to the United States and getting out of communism, he talked about the fact that, you know, it doesn't happen overnight usually, as was mentioned here. They take your freedoms away bit by bit, and before you know it, it's all gone. So that's why this is so important that we're doing this today. For the last century, communism has left an ugly and a deadly legacy in the world. Since its creation, over 100 million people worldwide have died at the hands of communists, and countless more have starved, been tortured, and persecuted. We saw it under the tyranny of Vladimir Lenin, Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, Fidel Castro. Today, we still see the dangers of communism in China under the rule of the Communist Party there. As we stand here today, millions of Uyghurs are facing religious persecution, slavery, and execution. The threat of communism is real and is important. We have the tools in place to combat it. This legislation is not a mandate, but it develops a comprehensive curriculum and creates materials so states, local governments, and schools have access to quality resources to teach about communism in the classroom. I want to thank again Congresswoman Salazar for her leadership on this issue, ensuring that the next generation is armed with the facts that will help combat the rising threat of China and further protect the world from the horrors of communism. Thank you.
Thanks to all of you. And thanks to all the members who joined us and to the news media. You know that for 35 years I was a journalist just like you. So I call upon you because you have a civil and a duty. Duty to report the news the way it is and what's happening. Report what's happening in Congress and the threat of communism and democratic socialism that it's creeping upon this country. So just wanted to thank you and ask you to join the American exceptionality, continue doing your job the way you've done it, and understand that we need to spread this message through the news organization. So I want to thank all of you once again for having stayed, for having covered this press conference. Thanks again. What are you telling me? I can't understand. The next speaker, okay? I'm sorry. John Suarez. I didn't see you, John. I was here, but I think that I should give you the opportunity that you were going to be. John Suarez, the executive director of the Center for Free Cuba. If I know the horrors of communism, they know it better because they do it every day and they are here to report, and I'm delighted to give the opportunity for you to talk to the news media.
Thank you very much, Congressman Salazar, and thank you very much for this initiative. It is an important one. The Castro dictatorship, with decades of experience in imposing a dictatorship that Cubans never wanted. Fidel Castro promised to restore democracy in Cuba after Fulgencio Batista took Cuba down the way of dictatorship. And instead of restoring democracy, he imposed a communist dictatorship. He did it through lies, through lobbying. Despite what the communists would have you believe, the Castro brothers lobbied the U.S. State Department to place an arms embargo on Fulgencio Batista in March of 1958. And U.S. diplomats pressured Batista out in December of 1958 with the belief that there would be a democratic restoration in Cuba. Fidel Castro claimed that he would be restoring democracy while he was terrorizing Cubans first, editors of newspapers, shutting down newspapers, setting up execution squads, mass executions, and imposing a terror on the island. And he used that to consolidate a communist dictatorship that has been ruling Cuba for the past 62 years. And we've heard about a bit of that today. But in addition to what he's done inside of Cuba, and there was the talk about the supermarket, prior to Fidel Castro, Cubans were able to feed themselves. With the centralized communist agricultural practices of the Castro regime, 80% of Cuba's food today is imported. And the Castro regime would have you believe that it is due to U.S. sanctions that there are difficulties in Cuba with regards to food. The reality is that the chicken that Cubans are eating today in Cuba comes from Arkansas. The reason that Cubans cannot grow their own food and sell it to the Cuban people is because of the communist economic policies of the dictatorship. Farmers today in Cuba, when they farm, first they have to buy their supplies in dollars. The regime forces them to sell it in pesos, which is worthless, but they don't allow them to sell it to Cuban people. They have to sell it to Cuban government agencies called acopios. And when they don't show up on time, the food rots. And that happens regularly. And that's why they end up having to import the food from outside. But in addition to the horrors that they visit upon Cubans inside, it's also important to talk about what Cuba's done abroad. The Castro regime, with its military and its security apparatus, has been able to subvert democracies like Venezuela's through cultivating people like Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro. Cuban intelligence officers have been torturing Venezuelan members of the opposition for years. In the 1970s, the Castro regime sent thousands of soldiers into Ethiopia to take part in a red terror and a genocide that caused the death of over a million in the 1970s and 1980s through a forced famine under the dictatorship of war criminal Mengistu. And today we have seen where the Castro regime, with its efforts, not only did they bring Daniel Ortega to power in the 1970s, but returned him to power and are assisting him actively today in consolidating his dictatorship once again in Nicaragua. I'd like to close remembering the words of a son of Missouri, T.S. Eliot, who said, "If we take the widest and wisest view of a cause, there is no such thing as a lost cause. Because there is no such thing as a gained cause. We fight for lost causes because we know that our defeat and dismay may be the preface to our successor's victory. Through that victory itself will be temporary. We fight rather to keep something alive than in the expectation that anything will triumph." I cite him because in 1991, many thought with the demise of the Soviet Union and the collapse of the Eastern Bloc that communism was over, there was no longer a threat. Many were wrong. Fidel Castro, Lula da Silva, in 1991 plotted the return of communism, of regaining what was lost with the Sao Paulo Forum. And over the last 30 years, they've done that in Latin America. As I said, we've seen it with the expansion of communism in Venezuela, its return in Nicaragua. Elections now in Peru and Honduras point to a radical left-wing elements will try to consolidate and undermine democracies there. So we owe it to be vigilant, to remain vigilant, and this initiative to educate America's youth on the horrors of communism and its reality is a critical part of regaining and maintaining those freedoms. Thank you very much.
And to all of you for being here. Until next time. Thank you.
Roshan Abbas, yes.
Yes, sorry. Roshan Abbas, I'm so sorry they didn't also, but the founder of Campaign for the Leaders. Thank you. I mean, an honor to have you here.
Thank you so much for introducing the bill.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you, Representative Salazar, for introducing this bill, and to all the legislators who are co-sponsoring and joining us today, and in support of victims of communism. I am speaking here as one of the Uyghurs who is facing active genocide by the Chinese communist regime. Education is the bedrock of a democratic society. We must raise future generations to recognize the dangers of communist ideologies that will deny human dignity, just as is the case of my own people, the Uyghurs facing active genocide. As Ambassador Brumberg spoke earlier, Uyghur women's bodies are being the battleground on this genocide while they are facing forced abortions, forced sterilizations. Chinese Communist Party is waging a war on freedom, faith, and human dignity. Basically, my own sister, Dr. Gulshan Abbas, is in the hands of the Chinese regime as a hostage for my freedom of speech in this country. I spoke as an Uyghur, outlining the fate of my in-laws. 24 of my husband's entire family were taken to these concentration camps. When I spoke about it in September 2018 at the Hudson Institute as an American citizen, my sister, retired medical doctor, was taken 6 days after. Until today, I have no idea if she's still alive. There's no information on her whereabouts. It's vital that we educate the current generation on this and all other crimes being conducted by the repressive regimes. We must show them where the world has failed to act in the past. We must teach them to act in the future. The crucial Communism Teaching Act sets a strong foundation. Students must have the opportunity to explore firsthand accounts of the life under oppressive and the despotic regimes. We must examine atrocities head on to expose them for what they are, deep violations of human dignity. The Chinese Communist Party is weaponizing education. It's used to erase Uyghur identity and existence. The CCP is teaching the virus history that avoids the crimes committed by the Chinese regime. The future of the free world is depending on the willingness of the international community to confront the evil. We must commit to teaching on the horrors of the past for the sake of our next generations, for the sake of the world that our children and our grandchildren inherit, and for the future of the humanity. Please support this act. Thank you.
Thanks to you. Thank you for being here. And finally, a Hong Kong activist. Thank you. Joy Hsu.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joy Hsu. I'm a Hong Kong human rights activist. I was born in the States and moved to Hong Kong when I was 7. And last year, at the age of 21, I had to flee the city because of the ongoing atrocities and also escalating pressure given by the Chinese Communist Party in Hong Kong. And ever since the pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong broke out in 2019, more than 10,000 protesters have been arrested simply for participating in rallies to fight for the freedom and democracy that we deserve as a human being and as promised by the Chinese Communist Party in the Sino-British Joint Declaration. And it is not just the protesters who were arrested. It was also the activists and politicians to medical experts and legal professionals. Every dissident in Hong Kong are facing lengthy imprisonment simply for fighting for freedom and democracy. And I witnessed firsthand with my own experience how the Chinese Communist Party have destroyed Hong Kong. And I heard with my own ears how communism have destroyed and taken away the futures from us, from my friends, and all these people who are suffering from communism. From the genocide in East Turkestan happening right now, to the occupation of Tibet, and the escalating atrocities in Hong Kong, all this history have to be remembered not only by us who are suffering and have been tortured under communism, but also by our next generations and every single student and our future generations in America. What has been happening in Hong Kong, Cuba, and elsewhere under communism cannot be happening again in the United States. And that is why, as a victim of communism, I am urging congressional members to support and co-sponsor the bill, the Crucial Communism Teaching Act, and to ensure the atrocities and all these things brought by communism would not be happening again here in the States. Thank you.
Now I think we're done, and thank you once again for your time. Until next time.